You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, I'm Ricardo Gonçalves. This is SBS On The Money for this Wednesday, the 16th of December 2020. It is your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap. Later, One Neo Bank is handing back its banking license. So what does it mean for the sector and for customers? But first, to the Australian share market, which rose today. The S&P ASX 200 up by 0.7% to 6679, led by the banks and miners. BHP up 1.8%, the CBA up 0.9%, and Afterpay surging another 4.2%. It's now up around 14% this month. Remember, it was added to the S&P ASX 20 index just a few days ago. Health stocks fell though, CSL down about 1%. For more on the day's market moves, I spoke earlier with Mahajbeen Zaman from Citi Australia. She's the Senior Investment Specialist. Mahajbeen, the market's up strongly today. Why?
Well, Asian and Australian markets are up today on the back of US fiscal stimulus hopes. US market halted a four-day losing streak as news that Nancy Pelosi and Mitch McConnell, who each are representatives of the Democrats and Republican parties in the U.S., will actually be meeting in person to discuss COVID relief and the $1.4 trillion omnibus bill to fund the government, as the deadline for that is really this Friday, December 18th. We are not really clear on the possible terms of the fiscal package at this stage, but indicative, we're looking at the bipartisan proposal to proceed with about $740 billion plan and set aside around $660 billion in state aid. Also outstanding is whether individual checks will be added to this package. Nonetheless, as we speak, futures in the US and Europe are flattish, and this topic remains relevant along with any updates we get on Brexit negotiations. This is really events to how key markets will close this week.
Speaking of negotiations, those are rising tensions between Australia and China. How are they hitting shares?
Escalating Australia and China trade tensions, you know, may not be big enough issue for global markets, but very much relevant to the Australian dollar, for example. Having said that, today markets are discounting the more recent news around the ban of coal imports to China from Australia, but the miners are actually up today. So Australian coal exports, of course, to China amount around about $13 billion annually. If the moratorium on Australian coal exports were sustained, it would really be a large dent to export earnings for Australian producers, because finding alternative markets in the short term will not be easy. While Australia can take the case up to the WTO, it really will be months before anything can be done. As a result, at this stage, the biggest concern for markets, especially here in Australia, would be if iron ore becomes a target, as that would really inflict severe damage on Australian growth. This seems unlikely for now, because over 50% of Chinese iron ore demand is met by Australia. Therefore, we do not expect Australia's recovery to really be derailed by the current Australia-China trade tensions for now. But events need to be closely watched.
Yesterday, APRA relaxed its dividend caps on the banks. What do you think that means for the sector?
By relaxing restrictions on dividend payouts for banks, now the onus has been returned to bank boards to decide how much payout to give to investors. This decision has come on the back of a softer COVID-19 impact to the Australian economy that was initially expected. Relatively stronger capital and provisioning levels have contributed to the positive outcome. Now, on a combination of slower asset growth, recovering profits, and the sale of non-core businesses will continue to support bank capital ratio. Going forward, we maintain a positive stance on the sector based on better than expected credit quality, which we are seeing in earnings, dividends, and also share prices today.
So look into your crystal ball for 2021. How do you see the market going, and what do you think will be the key themes?
Going into 2021, we're looking at global growth to be around 5.2%. And we know that two things will remain next year. Number one, interest rates are going to remain lower. Central banks have already indicated that they're not going to raise rates until and when inflation is over and above their target level or range. Number two, we do not expect significant withdrawal of stimulus in major markets that have been heavily impacted by COVID-19, for example, the US. Now, what this really means is that with the stimulus in place for most of 2021 and a possibility of even more stimulus in developed markets such as UK, Europe and US, we would expect to see stronger growth coupled with higher inflation. Now, this really talks to the reflation theme, where you see low rates anchored at the short end of the curve. and longer end, you know, being a tad more volatile, but edges higher slowly with inflation expectations increasing. Now, positive growth and positive inflation usually leads to higher equities, higher commodities, and generally a lower US dollar. So in a post-COVID world, we would really be looking to buy the dip and positioning for a longer term recovery. Key themes here would really be looking at sectors that benefit from reopening, such as restaurants, airlines, travel, and energy.
Marja Bean Zaman there from Citi Australia. Now, a stronger share market usually means stronger superannuation returns, and super fund returns are set to end the year in the black following a stronger than expected recovery. Data by ChantWest shows super funds added almost 5% to the median growth fund in November as markets surged on positive vaccine news. So that takes returns over the past 12 months back into positive territory, up 2.5%. And 7.5% higher over a longer 7-year view. For more on that, Sarah Dowling spoke with Mano Mohan Kumar from ChantWest.
So we had a really strong November. Returns are actually up 4.9%. What's driven that?
The bumper month of November was driven by exceptionally strong share market performance. Both Australian and global shares were in double-digit territory. And that strong share market performance was on the back of several reports of vaccine breakthroughs, which in turn resulted in optimism around some return to economic normality.
And so what lessons have we learned throughout COVID?
This year's experience highlights the importance of remaining patient and taking a long-term view. As an example, Superfund members who switched to a more conservative option from a growth option back in March would have not only crystallised their losses, but they would have missed out on some or all of the subsequent rebound.
Okay, from superannuation, let's go to banking and digital or neobanks. And Zinja is handing back its banking licence just 15 months after obtaining it. It means the app-based bank will close its savings and transaction accounts, but will return customer deposits over the next couple of weeks. It's blamed COVID and a tough capital raising environment. So for more on that, I spoke with Taylor Blackburn, Finders money expert. Taylor, neobanks exploded onto the Australian market a few years ago. What were they promising?
So neobanks were promising better rates and more efficient services. And remember, the old guard weren't very good with apps and digital banking. So that promise was there and for the most part has been kept.
And obviously they were targeting millennials anyway. Zinja is now handing back, though, its banking license. So what went wrong?
Well, I mean, I think we've seen this in the e-commerce space too. There's going to be some banks that or some players that come in and fail. And it's not necessarily because they made a lot of missteps. In Zinja's case, the big banks adopted a lot of the things they were doing and were able to do it better and at a quicker scale.
What does it mean for customer deposits, though?
So because they did have that banking license, customers' deposits will be, you know, insured and they'll be. But it does mean customers now need to be looking for a new bank and not to necessarily just go back to the old one that they might have been with before. There's still a lot of great opportunities out there and, you know, really to compare and find the best one for you.
And what do you think this means for Zinja's competitors and for the neobank industry in general, for customers as well? I mean, is there still a need for them?
Well, this is just a reminder that nothing is permanent and that, you know, that whatever bank you're with, whether you've been with them for 6 months or for, you know, for 30 years, to make sure that you're getting the best deal and the best service from them. So, the neobank vision will continue to change and grow, and big banks will try to cut them off at the pass.
Taylor Blackburn there from Finder, the money expert. That is SBS on the Money. I'm Ricardo Gonsalves. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Business Ricardo.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.